Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, bless and shape the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we are filled by your love, that we are filled by that paraclete, the one who is called to be by our side, the companion of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that is poured out upon us, that is given to us to declare to us the love of God in Jesus Christ, that we might know wherever we are and whatever we're facing, where we are and who we are. This is the gift of Jesus, who couldn't do this if he stayed with us. He went away and poured out the Spirit upon us because Jesus, and we take the incarnation seriously, Jesus came to us as the Word made flesh, and yet he was a person, so he couldn't be everywhere, every moment, at the same time. He poured out this universal love, which is with us now, filling this sanctuary, filling your heart. The Spirit of truth, the Lord and giver of life, the Holy Spirit with us now. And it's true, you can't see the Spirit. There are so many spirits in this world that we cannot see, that are filling this place now as we speak. You know, this is truly the age of information. There was a startling statistic that was written up in an article that appeared recently in the Los Angeles Times. It reminded us that with the proliferation of cell phones and tablets and all these devices that are constantly sharing information, our airwaves are filled each month with 6.3 hexabytes of information. Now, if you don't know what an exabyte is, it is approximately 10 to the 18th power bits of information. Put that in layman's terms, it's 1 billion gigabytes of information. Put that in terms that I can understand, it's as if at every second, every man, woman, and child on this earth is sending, in every second, 1,000 text messages. That's flowing through you right now. You can't see it, but as that article in the Los Angeles Times said, you know, if we were to draw an analogy, the air of the Industrial Revolution, thick with smoke, wouldn't compare to the air thick with information at this moment in this place. And yet with that flood of information, we're recognizing a huge social impact on our lives. You see, it is invisible, but it has a huge impact, and the impact of information and the explosion of social media is ironically loneliness. We've talked about this before. They talked about this, and scientists could demonstrate this with the telephone, that with the increase in means of communication, the increase in a sense of alienation goes along right alongside. Sherry Turkle, a professor at MIT, has written a series of books about this. Her most recent one is Alone Together. And she illustrates not only is there a sense of alienation increased, but there is a sense of devaluation of the human part of this technological revolution, so much so that, and we've seen this many times over, there is an increase in depression in our world. Depression because of the fact that people think they are alone. It is one of the great lies of this time, but it is a lie that has gone throughout time, that we think we are alone. You'll hear that too in atheist manifestos. We are alone in the universe. The universe is trying to kill us. We are not alone. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will come to convince the world or convict the world that it is wrong about sin, unrighteousness, and judgment. You have to understand that in John, as in the Christian faith, sin is not about morality. Sin can have moral implications, but first and foremost, sin is about relationship. In John, sin is equated with unbelief. And what is it that people don't believe? They don't believe that we are loved by God in Jesus Christ. And that is the great lie, to believe that you are not loved. Unrighteousness is about relationship, and unrighteousness is, in John, is understanding that, or believing that Jesus was not the righteousness of God. That this one who became so humble to become a creature, to become understandable, to become, even in the midst of our pain and suffering, one who loves us, to think that that is not God's act for us. The Holy Spirit is being sent that the world might be corrected to understand that we are loved, that God was acting in Jesus to reach every single person and creature in this creation, and that the ruler of this world, which is to say the one who would leave you with that lie that you are alone, and that no one is wanting to be with you, that lie has been condemned. So the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. That's information that in the midst of this swelter of exabytes, you may hang on to that one truth and know. It's important because there are other winds. Again, I don't know if you saw the article this week, but a survey went out among Wall Street bankers, and fully a third of them declared that if they could make $10 million in illegal activity and not get caught, they would do it. Now, that is up from 2013, the last time that survey was taken, and even more alarmingly, in general, the survey result came back at 25%, a quarter of the bankers, but it was a third of the bankers who were in that category of under 10 years. The younger bankers would do it more. Can you say the way the wind is blowing? For heaven's sakes, didn't we have to go through 2008? Have we not learned anything? No, apparently not. And yet this Holy Spirit, unseen but more true, unseen but having a greater social impact than even Wall Street bankers, is in our midst to be felt and known and heard. We're sometimes confused because so often on this day of Pentecost we go to that great passage in the second chapter of Acts, which begins that the Spirit came down like the rush of a violent wind and filled the house where the disciples were staying, and tongues as of fire were upon their heads. It's a dramatic scene. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. And love so often, sometimes agonizingly so, is so much less invasive. Love honors us and speaks quietly to us. So much so that in the midst of all the winds of the world, sometimes you have to step back and breathe deeply and allow yourselves to catch this holy wind and recognize it where it is. Recognize it, and you can, because as it says in that passage from John, the Holy Spirit will testify to me, to Jesus. So where you see something that looks like Jesus, you see the almighty power of God, that power which we know as love, working to transform the world. It happened at a Waffle House in Alabama a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear this story? A little boy named Josiah Duncan and his mother were going out for a treat. They were going to the Waffle House. If you've traveled in the States, you have seen a Waffle House. And as they pulled into the parking lot, the little boy saw a man standing with his bicycle holding a bag. And he was very dirty and disheveled. And the little boy, with the curiosity of a five-year-old, started asking his mother all kinds of questions. So often children see things that we have learned to blind ourselves to. And the mother, her name is Ava, she told her son that he was a homeless man. And Josiah said, "What does that mean?" At 5 years old, he could not comprehend this term, homeless. She said it means he doesn't have a home. Well, Josiah was most struck by how hungry the man looked, and he asked his mother, "Can we buy him a meal?" And she said, "Yes, we can." So they invited him in. He sat down at a place for two. He didn't sit where they could sit with him. But they sat down, and they noticed that no one came to serve him. And Josiah jumped up, and he said to him, "Would you like a menu? You can't order without a menu." So he got a menu, and then someone came over to serve him. And modestly, this man ordered the cheapest thing on the menu, a bare burger. And they noticed and said to him, "No, no, order anything you want." He looked a little shocked and he said, "Can I have bacon?" She said, "Have all the bacon you want." So he ordered a cheeseburger with bacon. And when it came, Josiah jumped up again, and that's when his mother and all the other 11 people in that restaurant began to cry. Because Josiah grabbed his hand and said, "Can we say the blessing together?" And he began to sing, "God our Father, God our Father, thank you, thank you. For the many blessings, for the many blessings, amen, amen." Sometimes the Holy Spirit doesn't sound like the rush of a violent wind. Sometimes it sounds like the breath that fills the lungs of a five-year-old boy as he sings a blessing for a homeless man. Catch the wind. Let us pray. O gracious God, you have poured out your Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Let us breathe deeply. Let us fill our sails. Let us move with you to the homeless, to the outcast, to the lonely, to even ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.